We are so touched. You all made the trek out here.
Robert, Renata.
We hope our marriage is nothing like yours.
Cheers, everybody.
From the director of Pitch Perfect and the producers of The Proposal.
Something doesn't feel right.
We're pirates, and they took everybody hostage.
Jennifer Lopez, Josh Duhamel.
This is not happening.
Pirates chasing you wasn't on your vision board.
You're the only thing on my vision board.
Shotgun Wedding, rated R. Watch now on Prime Video.
We are so touched. You all made the trek out here.
Robert, Renata.
We hope our marriage is nothing like yours.
Cheers, everybody.
From the director of Pitch Perfect and the producers of The Proposal.
Something doesn't feel right.
We're pirates, and they took everybody hostage.
Jennifer Lopez, Josh Duhamel.
This is not happening.
Pirates chasing you wasn't on your vision board.
You're the only thing on my vision board.
Shotgun Wedding, rated R. Watch now on Prime Video.
Matt Overton, long snapper, has played with four teams in 5 years, but most recently the Cowboys, and has now survived a decade in the NFL, is a free agent heading into the new league year. Matt, what has this year been like for you with Dallas, kind of picking up and moving and starting again in your career?
Wow, it's been great. I mean, there's challenges because of, you know, the uncertainty of things, but I'm pretty familiar with being a free agent these past, I mean, like 4 years now. So I've been on four different teams in 4 years. So I went from Jacksonville and then I went to the Titans during COVID, then the Chargers, and then this year made my way to Dallas as a Cowboy. And so the unknown is difficult, especially when you have a wife and kids now, and it's not as easy just to pick up and go. But it's been a blessing to go everywhere we've been. And this year was just really special because, you know, being a Dallas Cowboy is just an iconic place to play. And my experience there was great. And we had a great run this year. So, this season was definitely special.
I'm glad you said that because I was talking about LeBron setting the NBA's all-time scoring record on my show. I was saying with the Lakers, it's just different. There's some franchises that they have such an iconic tradition. There's a different buzz around them. And that certainly applies to the Cowboys. So, yes, what's different about being a Cowboy, Matt?
I mean, there's a lot. And I think it starts with just the rich history. You know, you go back to you know, the Tom Landry days, and then you talk about Jerry Jones coming in the mix and you know, how he got the team. And obviously, you know, the 90s when they were winning all the Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. And now at this point, it's just, you know, every year it seems like the Cowboys are always in conversation, you know, good or bad. And you know, the media always loves to spotlight the Cowboys. You know, they coined America's team. And the fan base is incredible. And so, you know, as a young kid growing up, I'm a diehard Niners fan. So I despise the Cowboys, you know, every single year. So, you know, growing up, I always had that profound respect for the Cowboys just because they're always a tough team and, you know, always competing for a title. And it just one of those iconic franchises. And I just kind of equated like it's like playing for the Yankees, you know. And so going there as a player, I mean, just my respect for what Jerry has done has grown tremendously, and just getting to meet him and see him operate firsthand and what he provides us players and the resources he gives. And, you know, Jerry's world and the star in Frisco and our stadium, I mean, it's all top notch. And, you know, I've played for, you know, Indianapolis for a handful of years, and, you know, that's a historic franchise as well. And the Ursay family is tremendous, but, you know, when it comes to Jerry and the Jones family and what they, you know, provide us as a player and you know, coaches and our families, it's definitely taking it up a few notches. And and it's really, really cool. Just the amenities and just like you said, the buzz around the team always. And when we travel, it seems like, you know, we're playing at home sometimes on the road. And it's just really, really cool just to play for such an incredible organization and a great fan base.
Before you got to the Cowboys, did you believe what you hear about the franchise, or is it one of those situations where you think it must be hyped up? It can't really be that good or really be that different.
Well, yeah, I mean, when it comes from like a facility standpoint and just what they provide, the amenities for players, it's definitely the best that I've been around. And I spent some time in Seattle, and their facility is really, really nice. And I know there's a handful of other organizations that really have, you know, roll out the red carpet for their guys. But, you know, this place is, I mean, when I got there and, you know, stayed at the Omni that's attached to the Star and our facility and the indoor, and I mean, it's like walking into a hotel lobby when you get to the player facility and the locker room, and just everything that they provide is definitely been the best in that regard. And so I think, you know, there's always, when you're an outsider looking in, it always seems to be some like drama floating around the Cowboys. Yes. And we experienced that this year. It's like the OBJ, you know, is he coming? Is he not? That was kind of a little, it seemed like it was 2 months straight of nonstop talk of Odell and when he's visiting. And, you know, obviously he's courtside with, you know, Michael Parsons at the Mavs game and all that kind of stuff. So it was like, I get it. You know, I see it firsthand now. But I've also seen, you know, the way Jerry handles himself. He's with us all the time at practice, on the road, in the locker room. I mean, he's such a down-to-earth guy. So I think what I learned and got to experience is, you know, you think of Jerry Jones as this larger-than-life personality, and he's really one of the faces of, you know, the NFL. And
sure.
And meeting him in person, he couldn't be a nicer guy. Like, just down-to-earth and literally knows everybody on the roster at all times. And it's just incredible just to see the passion he has for not just his team, but for the league itself and for the game. And so now that I've got to see, you know, and meet Jerry up close in person and see how he operates, I think that's been something eye-opening for me.
We're spending a few minutes with Matt Overton, who is a long snapper in the NFL now 10 years. Does that make you feel old, a 10-year vet of the NFL?
Well, yeah, when these rookies are born in 2002, yes, I definitely feel old because I was graduating high school when they were born. So, yes, it does make me feel old.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for, I guess, in 23?
I mean, I'm just hoping to play again. And every year it's kind of been like, all right, let's go back to the drawing board. And not to say that there may not be an opportunity with Dallas, but, you know, it's I kind of prepare myself as if, you know, I'm going to be that free agent guy. And you know, I kind of, you know, tell my agent and my family, it's like, you know, the role that I have now later in my career, about my position, I've kind of become that emergency long snapper guy. And I'm okay with that. I really am. I feel like I've proven to these teams that, you know, if there is an emergency, whether it's by injury or not performing well, that I could be that guy to come in and play and help a team win. And so I would love to go back, of course, and have some continuity with the team. But it's also kind of exciting to think of the possibilities of maybe I'll go somewhere else and, you know, get to be a part of another historical franchise and meet other guys that I never would get to meet or play with. My family can experience another city. So there's pros and cons, but, you know, I think just stay optimistic in the moment. And I love kind of being against the odds. And I know God's got a greater plan than I can ever think of. So I'm excited for what the future holds for sure.
Do you have to get a real estate license in every state where you move?
No, I've only done that two places, and that's enough for me. Yeah, it keeps me busy.
I was going to say, how does a person have time to not only manage an NFL career and what comes with potentially moving? And as you say, you've done that now the past few years, plus a family and a podcast and a brand and sell real estate.
In 2019, I kind of dove headfirst into the real estate and did really well. I was like, I sat out pretty much the entire season of 2019. And so I was able to get my license in Indiana, and I loved it. I think it's a great thing for guys to have, just because of the network circle that we have as players and the guys that we get to meet and the people we get to meet. That's kind of the perk of our profession is meeting a lot of people and the influence that you have. So I feel like I got lucky there, and Indianapolis was home to me for about 8 years. So, being an agent in that market was really, really good. And then moved to Nashville and got my license here when I played for the Titans, and that's been good too. So I've been utilizing that, whether it's helping people relocate and even helping some teammates and their families. So it's very, very part-time, but it is fun to have, and it's real estate, something that I really do love, whether I'm licensed or not. And it's been a nice little fallback, and, you know, I kind of just use this as an example for guys. Hey, you just have something to fall back on, and that's where, you know, this comes into play for me and podcasting and building a brand too. So football doesn't last forever, and you know, just kind of have to utilize the platform that you have at the moment, and hopefully it'll propel you to, you know, greater things afterwards.
Well, I have an accounting degree, and early in my radio career, I had to use it to pay the bills. So it is definitely smart to have other skills that you can use to get a job, because you never know how long the career will go and when it might come to an end, as you point out. So, Matt, what would you say was the best game, the highest point, the coolest moment with the team this season?
I mean, there was definitely a handful. You know, I joined the team like week five, three quarters of the season I was with them, and it goes by so fast, you know. And so I would have to say, you know, some of the high points for us this year was, you know, going on the road against Minnesota and like completely just blowing the doors off them. And yeah, it was kind of like one of those games where it's just like, gosh dang, we're rolling. I think the score was like 41-3 or something like that. I mean, it was like an incredible road victory, because that's such a tough place to play, and Minnesota at the time was kind of on a hot streak, you know. So it was one of those games where, like, man, we felt pretty good about ourselves going to the locker room and that flight home, that game. And then we had another home victory against the Eagles on Christmas Eve. That was a huge, huge one for us. And the road game, obviously, in Tampa Bay in the playoffs, and because it had been, like, 30 years since whatever it was, since the Cowboys had won on the road in the playoffs. And
right,
only 10 of us on the team were even alive during that time. So it's like, obviously, that pressure was on. But we got that big road victory, and it just so happened to be Tom Brady's last game, you know, that we think. You know, we don't know if he's going to come back or not, but it sounds like he won't. So, I mean, there's particular games where personally I felt like I played pretty well, or our kicker Brett Maher, you know, had a great game, or our punter Brian Anger had a great game, or our special teams had a great game. So, but as a team, I think, you know, those road victories always seem to mean a little bit more, just because it's special. It's hard to win on the road, and then you get to enjoy it on the way back on the flight home. So those were some of the high points for sure.
Okay, I swear to you, I was not going to bring up Brett. I wasn't going to bring up the game that really it captivated the NFL, even more so than the results, the game in which he missed the extra points. It happens, right? It's sports. Nothing's automatic. But what was happening on the sidelines, or what was happening with Brett?
I mean, it's just one of those things where I kind of just equate it to, you know, just a professional golfer just not having a great day on the course. I don't know. Like, we all have those days, and I never want to act like I know, you know, how, you know, to diagnose his kicking, because I know nothing about kicking, even though I'm with him all the time. The only thing that I know what to do is just to support my guys no matter what, because they do it for me. And the team rallied around him, man. I mean, everyone obviously knew that he was just going through a whirlwind of an experience. And he owned it like a true professional. And whether it was with the media or just how he handled himself the week after and you know, the week in practice and the next game. And it's just one of those crazy, crazy fluke games where it's just like, gosh dang, just for whatever reason, the ball just wasn't going through the uprights, you know. And it wasn't like he wasn't kicking the ball well. The ball was, you know, seemed to leave his foot really, really well. It just wasn't going through. So, I commend Brett for, you know, everything that he'd gone through in that game, because up to that point, he'd had a stellar season. And right, I think that's what really stinks about the situation, is people overlook the fact that, you know, he really did have a Pro Bowl caliber season. And when you can only select two kickers, one from the NFC and one from the AFC for his Pro Bowl, it's unfortunate, because Brett deserve the acknowledgement of getting Pro Bowl this year, because he deserved it. He's a true pro, and I have so much respect for Brett and everything that he's done for the team. And it was an honor playing with him. But that situation stunk, and we moved on from it. And sure, he bounced back, and you know, that's just this is how it goes sometimes. And everyone goes through it. I mean, from quarterback on down to the kicker, everyone goes through it. And unfortunately, at our position, sometimes you're under the microscope or the spotlight 10 times because you're almost expected to make your kick every time. It's a crazy thing, and you know, Brett will be better for it.
I think what impressed me the most is, as you say, everyone was supporting him. Nobody was ripping on him, recognizing. I think even Dak said, heck, I had, you know, two interceptions, played like crap the week before that Buccaneers playoff game. But also there was no knee jerk to cut him. Also a sign of an organization where there's strong leadership.
Definitely.
So then going into the Niners game, you mentioned that you grew up being a Niners fan. What was that like for you to be there and to be part of a Cowboys playoff game against San Francisco?
It was incredible. Like, that would be one of my, you know, obviously we didn't win the game, so the result wasn't that. I wouldn't put that in my top five, you know, experiences with the team this year. It would have been number one for sure, outside if we didn't win the Super Bowl. Because just for me personally, just being from the Bay Area, growing up as a Niners fan, like I played the Candlestick, so I never played at Levi. It was my first time at Levi, and you know, having a ton of friends and family in the stands, and you know, just kind of everyone watching, and everyone's a Niner fan. All my, you know, my family and friends. So there was nobody, you know, out, you know, wearing Cowboy stuff to the games or anything like that. So it's kind of cool. Like, I was upset. Like, hey man, you got to put the Navy on, you know, and put that star on just for one game. But my family and friends are diehard. So, you know, they were rooting for me and they wanted me to play well. And, but they wanted, they were rooting for the Niners. So it was just cool just because the environment's hostile, you know, and, it's just that rivalry growing up watching the Niners and Cowboys play. Like, it seemed like every year they were battling in the NFC championship to go to the Super Bowl, and so to kind of relive that as a player, especially on the road, was really special, and I'll never forget that game. And gosh, I hope that one stung, and I hope we get another chance to meet again.
Matt Overton is a longtime NFL long snapper, now a decade in the league, most recently with the Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We had a unique situation around DeMar Hamlin. For me, it felt like, Matt, from the outside, that the NFL really ground to a halt, which never happens. This is a behemoth of a league. It's become year-round. It's all-consuming. But those couple days while we were waiting for some news about DeMar and he was in the hospital, it seemed like everything really stopped. And a bunch of players, Josh Allen even from the Bills, coming out talking about how the conversations in the locker room had changed. And it was a lot more about what it means to play a game where sometimes your life can be on the line. And then he also spoke about faith and about mental health. So I'm wondering, in your locker room and the conversations that you had with people, how players in Dallas that you worked with were looking at that situation from the outside and processing some of those same reactions and anxieties?
I know there was definitely a deep concern for his health and well-being. And obviously, you know, that game was on Monday night. So like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday were just kind of very somber and not knowing the status of DeMar. And obviously, you know, when we're watching on TV, there's not a lot that we're being told, and you know, we can't see certain things, and obviously there's something seriously happening because the, you know, the game is done and all the players on the field taking a knee, praying, people are crying, you know, the entire, you know, stadium is silent, and right. You know, so there was just that just weird like 24-hour period where, yeah, like everyone just kind of paused. And you know, football went to the wayside. You know, even when we came into our first team meeting, it was like that first thing we talked about was DeMar and the situation and just praying for him and praying for the Buffalo Bills and, you know, the Bengals and everyone that was there to experience that. So I would have to say that our experience is obviously not the same as what those guys on the Buffalo Bills and the Bengals experienced because they were there. And but there was certainly a few days where it just seemed like everything just moved slower and football wasn't a priority, and there was like a lack of energy kind of going into that last week. And I would have to assume that most of the league felt that just because everyone was concerned. And as the good news continued for DeMar and his progress, I think that's kind of when, you know, everyone took a deep breath. And, you know, we heard that he was on FaceTime with his teammates and what an incredible testimony that can be shared. And the power of prayer is real. And it was really cool to hear guys who probably normally wouldn't talk about faith or, praying, and they were actually talking about that in press conferences and right. and you know, just sharing their beliefs and their faith, which was incredible. And so I have no doubt that DeMar is going to use his testimony to do so much good. And it's incredible to see how really just humanity came together and people supported his charity and the NFL just banded together. It's a very, very scary situation. And, you know, when it all, you know, came through, it just was kind of a beautiful display of humanity and coming together and supporting somebody who needed us.
How does your faith help you when you don't know about the future, what's coming next, even if your career continues?
I wouldn't have made it this far in my professional career without my faith. I mean, it goes way back to college, you know, just coming from a small Division II school and not a lot of interest from NFL teams. Obviously not going to a combine, not having the exposure, not having you know, the NFL knocking on Western Washington's door to come, you know, scout us, you know. So I mean, the odds were stacked against me, and just through faith and perseverance and just believing in my abilities, I mean, God took me in incredible places, whether it's, you know, the United Football League, I 3 years there and arena ball, and made my way to the NFL with Indianapolis my first year. So there's just been so many crazy, wild experiences in this journey, and that started what seems a long, long time ago. But it's been incredible to see, you know, God being faithful through the entire process, and whether a door closes or whether a door opens, I mean, he's just always exceeded my expectations. And as I've grown as a believer, just using my platform as a disciple in that locker room, and knowing that my purpose is much more greater than being a football player. And so just trying to have that mindset and the humility every time has been key for me. You know, I love playing football, don't get me wrong, but I know that I'm not here just to snap a football. You know, I'm here to, you know, be a shining light in the locker room. And that's where I think being on a new team every year is cool, because now I can be a disciple on a new team and reach people and meet people and grow with people that I normally wouldn't meet if I just stayed on the one team. So it's been incredible to see just how things have unfolded. And my family has been a tremendous support. My wife and my daughter and my parents and grandparents have been super supportive through this entire journey. And it's been really cool to share it with them.
Matt Overton is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. To kind of dovetail off of that, Matt, you have coined Stay Ready as your motto and your brand. What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I mean, five consecutive years with the Colts, and then kind of got sideswiped as far as getting released abruptly in the spring of 2017. And, you know, it's kind of when I had that kind of awakening moment in my career where I was like, man, like I need to man up. I need to get better. I need to, you know, stay ready for the next opportunity. And that's, it kind of just derived from preparing and being a free agent and like staying ready for the opportunity or the call when it hopefully comes, you know. But then it's just evolved over the years into more of like a faith-based type mentality. And it's just, you know, staying ready for God's divine appointments, you know, whether, like I said, whether that's a door closing or whether that's a door opening, and just being ready and willing to serve and help others. And so it's turned into like this little personal brand that I have and into a podcast. And I love sharing my testimony. And so the podcast has really just been mainly about that, like bringing people on that have incredible stories and testimony that many fans may not get to hear because they're not the star player, you know. And everyone has a unique journey to the NFL. Not everyone's a first-round draft pick. Not everyone's right. from an SEC school. And, you know, it's really cool to share those stories of guys who have come from, you know, nothing and have made their way to, you know, making their dreams come true, but have also been, you know, faithful and sharing their faith along the way. And so it's been just a really cool thing that's evolved from really just kind of a little hashtag on Twitter, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been fun. It's been a really good way for me to connect with people, and even these young guys. I get the opportunity to help and train and work with like young middle schoolers and high schools and college players and free agents who are long snappers or who have aspirations to play. And I love helping them. And you know, it's kind of like, hey, you got to stay ready. You know, no matter if you're an eighth grader or going in your senior year in college, you know, just staying ready for these opportunities and being ready and willing to help others along the way.
I saw that you posted a photo as you get set to launch into season two of your podcast. What can people expect to start out season two?
Well, season one was filmed and recorded in my garage. So I think
love it.
So we started very organically. We had no idea what we were doing. We just kind of just pushed record, you know, got the cameras going, and we just kind of went off. But it took some time. So we didn't start until May of last year. This year, we're a few months ahead. So season two, we're actually in a professional studio. We got editing. We got producing. We got everything kind of dialed in. So I would have to say that, like, we're already starting in a better trend. Our mics are going to work this time and all that kind of stuff. There's just those learning, you know, the space and learning how to actually do something professionally, because I need things to look right, sound right, and I'm very happy with the way that we're going and the guests we'll have on this year. I'm going to have more teammates, more, you know, of my peers in the NFL. The resources and just the community here in Nashville, we have, you know, country artists coming on. So nice. It's just the reach we have here in Nashville is really special, because there's so many talented people right here downtown Nashville, and it's a hub for guys training in the off season too. So season two is just going to be really, really cool with the types of individuals we'll have on this year.
So Matt, before I let you go, you can laugh at me if you want. I do not know the first thing about long snapping, but you mentioned working with kids, youth, who are interested in making that their craft. Where do you start? What do you tell kids or youth about the keys to a successful long snap?
Well, I guess if you can throw the ball overhand, you can try to learn to throw it upside down. So, I mean, I truly believe that God gifted me this ability to do it, because not a lot of people can do it. And I think the trend is slowly going up with, you know, special teams and being a kicker, punter, or snapper, because now there's opportunities for scholarships and all that kind of stuff. So
yes,
and hopefully we make the position cool, you know, so that's what I like to show with these young guys, that hey man, if you're a young guy and maybe this is your way to play varsity football, or maybe this is the way that you make a team. I was never the biggest, fastest, strongest guy on my teams, and luckily for long snapping, that was my ticket to a professional career. So everyone has a different ability, and I'm just there to help them in any way. It's pretty incredible to see. You put a little work into it, you can be pretty good. So my encouragement is just guys, just stick with it and be consistent and actually practice. And most guys will be surprised with how good they can become if they just put their mind to it and actually put the time in. Sometimes these kids, they do it for the first time. They think it looks easy, and they get humbled pretty quick, you know. So it's fun.
It sounds like. Gotten you 10 years into the NFL. So you can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Overton, OVERTON _LS for long snapper. But he's also a licensed real estate agent, and he's got his Stay Ready brand and podcast. So make sure you check it out. You're welcome on our show anytime. It's great to connect with you. Thank you so much. And hope that you will land somewhere again, whether it's the Cowboys or another team, and you can take your influence and your impact to a new city.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your show.
We are so touched. You all made the trek out here.
Robert, Renata,
we hope our marriage is nothing like yours.
Cheers, everybody.
From the director of Pitch Perfect and the producers of The Proposal.
Something doesn't feel right.
We're pirates. And they took everybody hostage.
Jennifer Lopez, Josh Duhamel.
This is not happening.
Pirates chasing you wasn't on your vision board.
You're the only thing on my vision board.
Shotgun Wedding, rated R. Watch now on Prime Video.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
We are so touched. You all made the trek out here.
Robert, Renata,
we hope our marriage is nothing like yours.
Cheers, everybody.
From the director of Pitch Perfect and the producers of The Proposal.
Something doesn't feel right.
We're pirates. And they took everybody hostage.
Jennifer Lopez, Josh Duhamel.
This is not happening.
Pirates chasing you wasn't on your vision board.
You're the only thing on my vision board.
Shotgun Wedding, rated R. Watch now on Prime Video.